All right, joining us right now, the Wizards have had a busy week, and this man's had a very busy week. The trade on Tuesday with New Orleans, two first-round picks on Wednesday night, and then they added another pick last night. Joining me right now, and it's a pleasure, Wizards General Manager Will Dawkins. Will, thanks. I appreciate you giving me some time this morning. All the months of preparation, if not years, really. And, you know, the two nights just fly by. It's over in like 28 hours. You've been through a ton of these during your career. I'm sure some of them go kind of how you plan them to go. Others end up being surprises after surprises. How would you describe this one?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me. Happy to be on this morning. I would say very rarely do they go as you plan. I think a lot of times you just put in the work and preparation and try to build through every contingency you can think through. And we try to do that for as long as possible. But I'd say last 2 days were fun for our group. We got better and we're able to get guys that we were targeting. So we felt good about the outcome for sure.
So rarely it goes the way it's supposed to. In the first round, you're sitting there at six. Did it go the way you thought it would go? And did you get the guy you wanted?
Yeah, Trey's someone that we were excited about, who was in our top five all year. I won't tell you where he was, but he was up there. And when you get that guy, when you fall out of the top five on lottery night, you still feel pretty good about that. So our scouts were on him early, and we went to see him practice, play a lot early, and he just was able to continue that run in SEC play. The scoring prowess that he had was really impressive for a freshman.
So what did you love most about him?
Once we got to know him, during the visit, I really fell in love with his passion for the game, his IQ, and his ability to see the game and be ahead of plays. We threw him in a couple film sessions, put him in the workout, and threw him in Wizards play calls, and he picked up on stuff really quickly. But at the end of the day, he's a pure hooper. He's someone that has a repeatable shot. It's rare when you find someone who can shoot the ball with the same efficiency off the dribble as he does off the catch at such a high clip. So he's someone that's going to score. He's got to get better scoring at the rim, but he can score from deep. He can score from the mid-range, and he's got a passing creativity that will be, I think, exposed a little bit and enlightened a little bit more when he's with us.
Is it true, in your opinion, that once a shooter, always a shooter? Like somebody who's a shooter at 10 can still shoot it at 60?
Yeah, I think shooting is a swing skill that's hard to develop at times. You really have to work on it. But when you master it early and you have that size to where he has the wingspan to still get it off over people, that's not going to change.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in the specific things you look for in a shooter, other than he just makes a lot of them. Tell me about like what you look for in a stroke, in a setup, in, you know, how that kind of matches Trey's shooting ability.
Yeah, I think shooting is one of those skills where repetition is probably the most important thing. I think I've grown as an evaluator in terms of actual release of shots and technique, but there are some things that remain pure. And when you watch him versus some of the elite shooters, the fact that the ball gets the type of rotation it does, comes off his final two fingers very easily. He has the rotation, but it's also a repeatable shot, whether he shoots it quickly or has a full time to gather. And he has the range where his body mechanics are exactly the same no matter where he is. And to me, someone that has that type of balance to shoot it off 1 foot, 2 feet, wherever he catches it from, like that's a difficult shot to contest. And for us, I think it's a repeatable shot for him, which makes him the type of high arcing player that he is.
Yeah, you really see that backward rotation off those fingers. But I'm wondering about the release. Do you think it's quick enough?
I do. And I think he was someone in the SEC that had two players draped on him the entire last part of the season. Yeah. And he wasn't getting a lot of open shots. So for him to be able to create off the dribble and get those shots, which are a little bit more tough and contested, playing with the guys that we have now, which hopefully we'll get to some easier ones and he won't need to shoot it as quick. But we put him in drills where you had to catch it, not be able to bring it down and try to keep that same elbow and release. And he's able to do it now without spending a lot of time on it.
I heard your answer the other night to Trey admitting and appreciating, by the way, that you guys showed him, you know, some of the moments that weren't so flattering for him. And even though you said you weren't thrilled, I thought maybe some of it was tongue-in-cheek. Maybe it wasn't. But I loved your answer when you said that you do it because you want to see how he handles answering it. So what are you looking for in how a player handles seeing some of their rough moments?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing to just see how they communicate. They're going to be put in situations where they're going to have to talk and speak in front of the coaches and their players. I think it shows a sign of humility for a player to admit kind of what's going on, but it also gives us a lot of answers to the test. The reasons why you go to practice and you go to shoot around is to try to understand game plans and schemes and what's really being asked of them. And when players can repeat back and remember the situations and know what the coverages were, it shows you that they're at least watching and trying to get better. So we're looking for people that want to improve, won't run, and be authentic. And we're going to hit you between the eyes while you're here. We want to make sure you can handle that. And I think it's always good for us to get on the front end of that and know the type of person we're coming in, and they know the environment they're walking into. And we're always going to try to get 1% better every single day. And I think while he was here, he did that. And I think that's why he mentioned it, because when you come in, we don't just want to roll the balls out. We want to see where you're at, and hopefully you learn something.
Yeah, you know, over the years, I've talked to so many GMs and coaches who, you know, have said they do the same thing with young players that come in for the interviews, and they're looking to see, you know, when they throw an interception, you know, what happened on this play. And what they're looking for is accountability, but most importantly, did he learn from it? Or is he throwing people under the bus and making excuses? That's a big reveal on character. True?
Very true. The accountability piece, you do get in those film sessions, and it was the coach this, it was my teammate was supposed to be here, so you have to ask those type of questions. But we also try to do a good job of cutting it up so that we're showing the same exact situation and then making the right read as well. So like, okay, tell me the difference between this and this. What part of the season was this? When did you grow and figure this read out? Like, that way we can go behind the process of it. But you're absolutely right. There are some excuse makers out there, and you don't want too many of them in your building, so that's also a tell for us.
One of the things that I noticed in watching Trey in some of those, you know, incredible SEC games this year is just how fearless he was. Like, first game in Vegas against Ohio State, he put up 20 shots. He had 10 three-point attempts and ended up with 29. You've mentioned, you know, the competitive high motors of Riley and of Trey Johnson, and I think the guy you drafted last night as well. With scores and shooters in particular, when a guy walks out onto the court and thinks he's open, the first time he touches the ball, wherever he is there a balance of that being really good and also not being great?
Yeah, I think those guys that we drafted with Will Riley and Jameer, they're all at different phases of their career where they're finding themselves still. But they are confident. And when you talk about Trey and some of his performances out the gate, we'd rather have to turn you down than turn you up. And that's kind of what we look for in our players. So we want them to be aggressive, be confident, and go get it from the tip. And we think we added three guys that are going to do that.
Coach Thompson, John Thompson, Jr., as in the legendary Coach Thompson, worked for this station for many years, and he always said, I'd rather have to tame, you know, an animal than resurrect a corpse. And I think that's exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, he said it a little bit more eloquently than me.
No, you said it well, too. So tell us about what you guys liked in Will Riley.
Yeah, so Will's someone who has traditional size for his position. He's someone who, when you watched him prior to coming to Illinois, was someone who had the ball in his hands, could create plays, make shots, and actually get to the rim. And I think we saw that once they had some injuries at Illinois, the second part of the year, they started to put the ball in his hands and give him an opportunity to just create. And he was fearless on the offensive end, went toe-to-toe in another really physical conference. And he's someone who, when we checked in on his body, we expect him to even grow some more. So for him to be able to be 70th percentile in assist and 85th percentile in assist to turnover ratio, It means he protects the ball and looks for others while being able to score. And that's what we're looking for, guys that can just rebound it and bring the ball up. When you have Alex and Keyshawn and Bub, Bilal, and all the guys we have, we just want to play offensive basketball where you don't know who's starting it and everybody can be a threat.
You know, Will, in watching Oklahoma City over the last 2 months, and you were a big part of, you know, the architect of that team, and watching the players that you look for now, man, high motor, intense, highly competitive personalities are a priority for you guys, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of characteristics we look for in the 94 by 50. We're pretty specific on what we look for on the court. But we also have an environmental bucket that we look for, and we send our scouts out there to get as much intel and information as we can to make sure that when we bring these guys into the building, we won't push guys, meaning that we want guys that come in that have similar attributes and are going to just only push the group forward. You don't want too many pull guys that need to be pulled around and eventually try to catch up. So right now we're in the mode of giving everyone that comes in is going to have that competitive fiber and that juice and that work ethic and be serious craftsmen, because that's the environment we're trying to build, so that they push everybody in the gym. So having multiple players that want to compete and get after it, but will do so the right way and be good teammates, those guys are going to do well here in D.C.
You know, Brad Underwood said about Will Riley when you guys picked him the other night, his coach at Illinois, said he's the second best offensive player he's ever coached, next to Michael Beasley when he was an assistant with Frank Martin way back in the day. He's got that kind of potential offensively?
I did not see that comment. I got to know him well when he was at Oklahoma State and I was at Oklahoma. Yeah. I remember those Beasley days at Kansas State. Those were some fun practices to go watch as a young evaluator.
I bet.
But I would say if he were to go back in the Big Ten, we expected him to have a massive jump, and you wouldn't be getting a player as offensively gifted as him in the 20s. Plus, we were able to move back and still get him and pick up three assets in the second round. So Mike Winger, Mike Hartman, those guys that are helping with our strategy piece. It was a good combination of evaluation and a strategy coming together that first night of the draft. And we knew that we were getting a player who wouldn't be in that range if he would have went back to school. So we bet on that type of development.
All right. Tell me what you got last night in the Florida State kid. Is he Lou Dort?
He is physical. He is long. He is tough. He is defensive-minded. And that's what we really liked about him. But he also is someone that moved the scoreboard and got better offensively. But each meeting with these kids are different, you know. Got to spend a lot of time at dinner with Trey. Actually got a one-on-one breakfast with Will, like, before the workout. And then you get Jameer in your office, and he's just like, I'm all business. I'm here to hoop. Put me on whoever you want. I'm going to compete. And you just felt that vibe, and then he went out there and did it. And you're like, you are who we thought you were, and that's why we targeted him. But he just plays with a force and a physicality on both ends, and that's kind of a rare combination when you can be tops in the country in free throw attempts, but also 75th percentile in steals. So, like, you're hitting people on both ends, and that's what we need.
Is Dort a good comp or not? I mean, the build isn't the same, but is that a good comp?
Not too far off. I think when Lou went undrafted, he kind of had a little bit more of an offensive vibe to him and kind of transformed and realized that's how you get on the floor, and has continued to improve offensively, defensively, and obviously a first-team all-defensive guy from the work he put in. So, again, this is the type of kid you bet on physically to be able to put him in those type of situations.
Do you guys do that? We do that.
Do like all the other guys. Say it again, I'm sorry?
Yeah, no, do you guys do that? We do that all the time. You know, who's his comp? You know, who's his NBA comp? Do you do that as you evaluate players?
Yeah, as long as we're not being lazy with it. As you can imagine in those scouting meetings, I don't want the lazy comps. I want us to think through them, try to find physical comps as well as basketball comps. And sometimes you have to blend the comparisons of the two and let those guys have an opportunity, but it's more of a range. Like, on a high end, he can have this type of impact on a team, and that's the most important thing that we look for.
So what's Trey Johnson's high end comp? Who?
I think he's someone who is going to make plays for others and be able to stay on the floor in the playoffs and impact it on both ends, and that's a high level player for us.
But do you have a name? Do you have a comp?
No, I think you can ask him because he kind of favors his game after a few people. But the guys that are making deep playoff runs that could play on the ball and are always a threat, he kind of fits in the mold of those guys.
We're talking to Will Dawkins, the Wizards general manager. Let me just make sure. Can you talk about the trade at this point from earlier this week or not?
Not officially. That has not gone through yet.
All right. Then let's just talk about the roster as it stands now, and maybe there are changes coming. We haven't had free agency yet. But size on the roster next year, do you have enough of it or is more coming?
Yeah, I would say when you look at some of the transactions that haven't gone through yet, when you're having to make those challenging and difficult decisions during the rebuild phase, the main focus is always going to be to put the organization in a position for our long-term success. And for us, the decisions we made and will continue to make are less about position and more about getting the type of guys we want in here stylistically, and then also giving them the runway to develop, but providing us strategically the most flexibility to continue to add. So as we go through this process of free agency and finalizing the roster and making moves and trades potentially, I think we have a good assortment of young players that want to play and veteran players who are more than capable of playing and are actually very beneficial and helpful to have around because they're good players on the court as well. So we have a good blend of who we want in the locker room right now. We'll definitely make a few more tweaks, but I wouldn't say we're after one specific thing heading into free agency.
Well, I think you did, if everybody was paying attention, you kind of answered the question. I think one of the parts that I just want to nail down, because I think you implied it there, is this is the year where it's time to kind of turn the team over to these very young players that you've picked the last couple of years and give them higher usage rates, more shot attempts, more minutes, et cetera, right?
Yeah, I think Brian did a tremendous job. Brian Keefe, our head coach last year, three of those rookies that we drafted were top five in minutes for their rookie class. So he gave them experience, and that's when they were able to produce at a high level. We have a lot of confidence in them, but also Bilal, Champagne, AJ, some of our other young players and the players we've drafted, Tristan, to kind of give those guys an opportunity as well. And at the end of the day, staying flexible and playing deep rotations, I think, is what proved was beneficial for a lot of these teams in the playoffs. So establishing that at an early age, I think, is good as well.
All right, last one, and I appreciate the time. So how excited were you and how much pride did you take in watching your former team, Oklahoma City, win it all?
Super happy, overjoyed for them, everyone in the city, but everyone I work with and all the teammates that all the players that have come through in the Thunder organization. Definitely excited for all that. They have some great people over there. They deserved it. My family was super excited. My family that lived back in Oklahoma were at the games and at the parade. So happy for them. Hopefully they can keep it going down there, but we're kind of focused on building our own path here in DC, but it was a cool moment for sure.
Congrats on the last few days. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
No, anytime. You guys have a good one.
Yep. Will Dawkins, everybody, Wizards general manager. We'll talk about some of the things he said, and then Monica McNutt from ESPN will join us at 11 a.m. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can also watch the show now on the Team 980's YouTube page. Subscribe and like it when you get there.